You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
What are you doing here?
The action cane? That black feather? Those coordinates? That can only mean an Agent 22 McDuck spy adventure! Oh, with Granny missing, can I be your partner on this one? Please give me a chance. I'm trained in espionage, counter-espionage. I'm super good at secret keeping.
We're too far to turn back now, but you'll be safe on the sub.
Sorry, blindfold slipped. Still no clue where we are.
On second thought.
I can come! First ever Webby McDuck team up!
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 17, from the confidential case files of Agent 22. I am one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And just before we dive into our episode, we have to apologize. We are way behind our schedule here. We are so sorry. There's just a bunch of things going on. One of them is just the fact that it's summertime and my schedule is totally upside down because the kids are out of school. Yeah. And I just spent a fantastic time at the San Diego Comic Convention. And so we're behind because of that, too. But that was.
It's the Disney Dads cartoon afternoon. It's not the Disney guys with a bunch of spare time cartoon afternoon.
Very true. Very
so... true. You'll have to forgive us every once in a while if our families and the demands of such families, said families, take precedent every once in a while. So it's, it can be a little bit tough, especially because Curtis and I also host and produce other podcasts.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things, but that's okay. Cause we're coming up on the end of the season, right? I mean, like there's only a handful of episodes left.
That's right.
So I would
like to try and catch up if we can, so that we're on board for the finale and we can get an episode out right after that one airs. Yeah. So that means getting out, I don't know, maybe two a week for the next couple of weeks.
I think so.
We'll see if that happens. Like I said, summertime.
We're going to do our best.
Right. But this episode... Oh, actually, no. Before we get into the episode, we got to talk about San Diego Comic-Con.
We do.
I had the privilege of sitting on that panel, the DuckTales panel there, and boy, was it a lot of fun. Mainly because all three of the voice actors for Huey, Dewey, and Louie were all there in the same room, and they completely stole the show.
Awesome.
Because they're all comedians. It was just so funny from start to finish. They were hilarious. But not only that, we also got treated to a kind of a sizzle reel for these last remaining episodes, which included the first look at Magica and a little bit of the pirate singing, which we're going to see in the next episode coming up here, and a bunch of other stuff. And then we also got a lot of interesting looks at what's coming up in the second season, including the new characters, and there is a sizzle reel for that too, and I don't know if that's made its way online, but they showed a nice sneak peek at the first four episodes of season two, which are already in production because they had footage to show us, so that's cool.
That's awesome. I haven't seen the sizzle reel for season two. We've definitely all seen, I think, the video for the last few episodes of season one.
Right.
Because that is on YouTube, on the Disney Channel YouTube. But yeah, I haven't seen that sizzle reel for season two. I have seen a video of all of the new character designs for season two, including Bubba coming in season two, which is very exciting.
Yeah, there is so much. They played it up. The common thing at these kind of things is to release information and make it look like you're accidentally showing them things that you shouldn't. So I think it was Frank and Gunnar's had his laptop out, or somebody, I can't remember which one it was, which person on the panel, but and he was he opened up a folder full of JPEGs and he's like, I got something to show you, but I just got to find the right JPEG. So he clicks on the first one and it shows Baba or whoever it is, and then he scrolls through all of them to try and find the picture he wants. And so then we get to see the three caballeros is one of the pictures.
Yeah.
In the new modern DuckTales style, which is cool. There's a steampunk gizmo duck where he's kind of all made of wood and metal. And there's a picture of Mrs. Beakley dressed in Darkwing Duck's outfit.
Yeah.
A couple other characters I didn't even know. Oh, Feathery Duck, who is a character that's become really popular in Italian Donald Duck comics. He's not known at all in America here, but he's very popular overseas. He's going to be in the next season, and he seems pretty funny. He is featured in the season two promo reel that they played, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
I don't have these pictures in front of me, so I'm just trying to go off the top of my head here. But there were a lot of really cool
things. I think you hit most of them, right? Because then there's also a young Glomgold.
Oh yeah, that's right, young Glomgold.
And then there are to go along with that steampunk, Wild West Gizmo Duck. There's a bunch of designs of the characters in sort of Wild West Klondike type.
Oh yeah, gear. And Goldie is in that picture, so she's going to come back. And I think Lena and Webby have a new friend that comes in the next season.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think there's a picture of I'm forgetting his name now. Dijon, the funny dog character from the movie The Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
Okay.
But he looks like he's played up a lot more seriously in the promo. That's who people are kind of think that is, but we don't have exact confirmation on that.
I saw an image in a tweet of Bigfoot. Is that from season two?
No, I think that's from one of these last episodes.
Okay.
Here.
So the Bigfoot image I found particularly revealing. Because it's very, very influenced by the design of Bigfoot from a Goofy movie.
Right.
And one of the big things that was mentioned on the panel is that, and I love that we now have a technical term for it. We have the DAU, Disney Afternoon Universe. So there are other Disney Afternoon Universe characters in season one, in the episodes that have aired so far, that people haven't caught yet.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
Yep.
So I just have to say that to put everybody sort of on red alert to go back through those old episodes and see if you can't spot a few characters in the backgrounds. Yeah,
well, and who knows? It could be, they could be pulling a Ducksworth here.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, because at one point in time, I remember it's from the second or third episode after the premiere.
Yeah.
There's the scene where they're on the bus, and there's a couple of characters on the bus that you're like, well, that kind of looks like, one of them kind of looks like Roxanne from Goofy Movie, and you're kind of looking around and you're going like, oh yeah, well, maybe it's just sort of similar styles, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, well, all bets are off. These characters could actually be meant to be those characters.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
But what I really like about that, what I really like about, obviously, with Sky Pirates coming up, and a few other tidbits sort of out there, is that they are absolutely embracing the idea of a shared Disney Afternoon universe. Within DuckTales, and who knows what kind of twist that's going to take, because obviously with Darkwing, it's a little bit more of an interesting take in universe, that he's not necessarily the hero in universe that I think maybe people expected him to be, but he's a little bit of a different character. So I'm interested to see if they do bring in other characters eventually, how they could do that. One of the things that I would really, really love is if they did bring Goofy in, if they connected it to Goof Troop in a way, but it was a much like they've done with Donald. Donald is not necessarily Donald from the old cartoons. He's his own version and he's the adventurer and all that sort of thing. What could they do with Goofy to bring him in as his own sort of DuckTales in universe character, along with Max? And then I think along with that, you would want to bring Pete and PJ as well. And sort of have some fun with that. So I think that there's a great opportunity, and it sounds like they actually would like to explore that. And that's, I don't know, that's super exciting
well,
to me.
Well, one of the things they said was that they would like to put as many characters in here as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And one I think there was a young boy who asked the first question at the question period, and his question was, when are we going to see the Rescue Rangers? And they said that they will have them in as soon as they are allowed to have them in.
Mm.
So right now it seems that they're off the table, and we've speculated about this before, probably because there's apparently a movie in the works, which we don't really hear much about. But
yeah, there's lots of rumors about a live action movie and then a series to go along with that. And I don't know if there's been any sort of news on that recently. I don't think that there has.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. There isn't even really anything on IMDb or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, like this, it's under Chip and Dale, a live action film featuring animated versions of Disney's Chipmunks, Chip and Dale. But,
yeah, well, I would love to see them there, even if it's just as Chip and Dale and not as Rescue Rangers, because in the classic Donald Duck cartoons from the 50s, he and Chip and Dale have a huge rivalry.
Yes.
In several cartoons.
Yes.
And
one of my absolute favorite all-time classic Disney cartoons is the Christmas one where they're in the Christmas tree. Donald goes out, chops down a Christmas tree. It just happens to be the home of Chip and Dale. So they come along with him. He puts up the tree in his house, and as he decorates it, they cause all kind of mischief within the tree. And it's obviously very nostalgic. It's tied into a lot of that sort of thing. A lot of like the Christmas tradition. I remember they used to play them on the CBC every year at Christmas. They probably still do.
I hope so.
So I'm very, very connected to that. That's sort of part of my childhood growing up, as it is, I'm sure, for a lot of viewers. So it would be great if they did go back to that and they had a version of Chip and Dale. But I think if they want to launch a different Chip and Dale, especially like a Rescue Rangers type series, they'll probably want to keep that separate. And we've talked about it before, that Chip and Dale exist in a world with humans. So
An interesting thing, though, because and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is they make some changes to gummy bears, because that exists in a human world as well.
You know what? You're right. That's absolutely true. So I guess that doesn't really mean anything. So
yeah, right.
Cool. Anything else from that panel that you want to talk about?
Well, the whole panel is online. You can see it on YouTube. I would encourage people to go ahead and listen to the whole thing, not just for the information, but just because it's really, really funny. So you go and enjoy it. Maybe we should probably put it on our Facebook page or something like that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, we'll do that.
Cool. Well, before we move into the episode, I just really quickly want to mention that that we have air dates and descriptions for the last few episodes of the season. So I'll just go through those right now.
So starting with, we've talked about Sky Pirates in the Sky already, but we have a date, an air date for that one now. that's going to be on July 28th this week.
And then our first episode of August will be The Secrets of Castle McDuck. And here's the description. On a family trip to Scrooge's ancestral castle, Dewey tries to hide the truth about his mom as his brothers search for family secrets. And Graham McTavish from The Hobbit trilogy and Ashley Jensen from Ugly Betty guest star as Scrooge's parents, Fergus and Downey McDuck, respectively. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I wonder. So that's interesting. Are they ghosts? Are they alive? Are they? Is it flashbacks? I guess we'll find out. And then, yep. Sorry, did you have any information on that?
No, I don't. I was just gonna say I know that Duxworth comes back, but I think it's a season 2 episode that they showed him in.
And then on August 11th, we've got The Last Crash of the Sun Chaser. Stuck on a precarious peak, the kids secretly search the plane for the final clue about Della's mysterious disappearance. So we're definitely building towards this finale.
Yeah.
In these last few episodes. And then on the 18th, we have the 1 hour season finale, The Shadow War. Magicka Dispel is close to exacting revenge on Scrooge, so the family races against time to plan a dangerous rescue mission to save Scrooge and the city. Don Cheadle, I'm going to say that one more time. Don Cheadle from Avengers Infinity War and the Iron Man movies, as it says in the video. We posted it on our Facebook page. You go check
it out. Rwanda.
Hotel Rwanda. Thanos survivor Don Cheadle. Guest stars as Donald Duck's intelligible voice as a result of an inventive voice box. Reprising their roles are Lin-Manuel Miranda as Fenton Crackshell Cabrera, a.k.a. Gizmo Duck, Catherine Tate as Magicka Dispel, and Kimiko Glenn as Lena. So, they don't call it out, but Jim Rash is going to be in there as Gyro Gearloose as well. So these last two episodes, so we basically got 4 episodes left, 5 if you count Sky Pirates, which is airing this weekend. But the last two air in a 1 hour finale, which is really exciting. And we're going to basically, I think in that last two episodes, see almost every major character from season 1. Very exciting. So funny. The clips that they released, that little video with Don Cheadle, it's great. I love it because it's kind of, he gets his voice and then all of a sudden Donald gets this extra boost of confidence. And we have some in-universe acknowledgement that no one can understand what he says. And I love it. One of my favorite things is did you guys get any of that? And the boys are all talking over each other, but Louis is like, you got to use context clues. it's like we don't really know what he's talking about. Right. And then Huey's like every third word, and it's sort of like the idea that like, oh yeah, they have just as hard a time as anybody else, but they're used to it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm like really talking excited to, about these.
It's like talking to your 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You absolutely know what your 2-year-old is saying, but no one else knows what your 2-year-old is saying.
Totally.
And even you have problems understanding your 2-year-old.
Oh, for sure. So this episode from the confidential case files of Agent 22, Webby learns how Scrooge and Mrs. Beakley first met while she helps Scrooge rescue her granny from the clutches of rival spy Black Heron. This originally aired July 7th, 2018, written by Christian Magalhães? I don't know. Sure. Directed by Tanner Johnson. This is a great episode. I loved this episode. It was really, really fun.
Yes.
Jumping 100% into agree. Yeah, our first favorite moment. I got to start with Webby's sort of unending obsession with Scrooge, right down to what he eats for breakfast in the morning. And the fact that she's sitting there eating it with him, and that comes back later. It reminded me a little bit of the series premiere of Darkwing Duck, where first episode kind of opens up with him. Doesn't open with him, but it gets into him very quickly. His morning routine as he comes in from fighting crime, and he goes through like his training regimen of making breakfast.
Right. Yeah.
And he always forgets the milk. And then later in that two-parter, Gosselin shows up and manages to do everything with his breakfast just as well as he does. And that's sort of the moment where you realize that they're kind of destined to be together. And so there, I feel like there was a little bit of a reference in there to that, especially knowing how much they're trying to sort of work everything together. I feel like there are influences everywhere from all of the different Disney Afternoon things, because obviously the writers of this show are huge fans of all of that stuff. So I don't know, it really reminded me of that, in that sort of like preparing the breakfast and then she's partaking of the tea and everything, and we find out later she's not really a big fan, but she does it anyways because she's just obsessed with Scrooge and everything about him, needing to know all of the details about his mysterious life.
I'd love to see Gosselin in the show sometime, but I don't know how they'd work that in, because I don't know if she is a character on the Darkwing Duck TV show.
Sure.
Or if she, because I don't know how they're playing out the TV show. If like all of the episodes that we've seen are episodes that they've seen and that kind of thing. So maybe she's an actor.
Just flashing back really quick to the sizzle reel for the end of season one,
and they're all singing the
that
theme music.
Clip of them all singing along to the instrumental closing
the end credits,
music.
Yeah,
I love it so much. I was saying this to my friend Matt Campbell. A friend and listener, I love it so much because that is so authentic. Yeah. Like that is not something that you write because you go, this will be a funny gag. That's something that you write because you lived it. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And like that, because like all the music from these Disney Afternoon shows is great, but that end credits, like that really like sort of
with
jazzy,
the wailing saxophone,
jazzy saxophone, it's so good, it's so good that you just like, you can't help but get really into it when you're watching Darkwing Duck. So having all the kids in the back of the or in the cargo plane all singing along to it, I loved it. I can't wait to see that in an episode. But what brought me to that? The version of Darkwing that they've got. I really think that they'll the Darkwing that was on TV in this universe will be it'll be much more of like a 1966 Batman version of the character, and that everything that we see will probably just be him on his own, because I think that if they do introduce him in the modern time, like in the contemporary timeline of the rest of the characters, he'll be older, and I think that they'll actually probably tell a story about him being a bit of a loner and becoming friends with Launchpad. And maybe Gosselin can be worked into that story. But it would be really great. I think it would be really cool if we've got this new character that they're introducing that's part of Webby and Lena's crew, that if eventually they could introduce Gosselin, and then the four of them could go off on an adventure on their own.
Right.
Without the boys, without Scrooge, without Launchpad, just these four girls on their own adventure. I think that could be really fun,
depending on what happens with Lena in this season, I guess.
Yeah, depending on
we don't exactly know what's going to go on with her.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about her, but
we know that she's going to be in the next season, so she comes back.
It's also, I don't think that they're going to kill too many of the children on this show.
Oh, you don't think so? Well, no. She could just go away.
Sure, she sucked into a portal or right. Or just leave, I guess. I guess she could just walk away. What's your one of your favorite moments from this episode?
Well, this episode was played a lot more serious than usual, so there weren't as many jokes, I found. But one of the jokes I did like was that when Scrooge and Webby go to this secret shush base or foul base, it's a total secret, so no one can know where it is, and so Launchpad blindfolds himself.
Yes.
so he can't see where he's going. But the funniest part is Webby and Scrooge are talking, and then they accidentally crash into something, and you think it's because Launchpad is blindfolded, but no, it's because the blindfold fell off of Launchpad, and he took that opportunity to crash the sub.
Yeah.
And then he put the blindfold back on, and he was fine again.
Launchpad not really heavily featured in this episode, but I feel like a lot of the episodes they just kind of drop Launchpad in for one joke and let him do the thing.
Well, the last time they dropped him in for a joke and he didn't even have a line, it was a visual joke.
Yeah. So my next one along the same lines as my first point, it was Scrooge and Webby getting to know each other once they're sort of in the midst of the adventure. And obviously we're flashing back and forth between Agent 22 and Scrooge's adventure back in the past, sometime in the whatever their version of the 1960s was. And then flashing forward to today with Scrooge and Webby kind of following in their footsteps. And as they do, it's interesting because there's a parallel between both stories, right? Beakley, Agent 22, isn't really interested in working with Scrooge at the beginning. They're kind of begrudgingly stuck together by Shush, and eventually she starts to warm up to him. And it's sort of the flip with Scrooge and Webby, where not that Scrooge is reluctant to work with Webby, but I think he just kind of underestimates her a little bit. He doesn't know her as well as the boys do. The boys obviously are terrified of her, for good reason, because she's a terrifying individual, even though wrapped up in that cute little package. But Scrooge, I think, has taken her at face value up until this point in the series. And
she's kept her distance as well.
Yeah, kind of observing.
Because right? Because Beakley has told her to.
Yeah. And I love it because of how much homage it plays to the original series. Because in the original series, Webby was always the character that could kind of crack through Scrooge's armor. That, like, Scrooge would be getting mad at everybody else because of something that they did, and then Webby would kind of flash those baby doll eyes at him, and he'd like, I can't be mad at you guys, right? So there was always that kind of dynamic where Scrooge was this grumpy, curmudgeonly, adventurous character, but Webby was able to sort of get through that and make him a little bit more heartwarming and relatable. And in this episode, we kind of get almost a flip version of that, where it's like that's what he's expecting her to be. And then it turns out like, oh no, she's actually just as much of an adventurer as anybody else. And so there's just kind of a cool dynamic there as they get to know each other. And like I was talking about before with the breakfast thing, he thinks that he knows her, because she's been around. And so he's got all of these preconceived notions, and he's like, well, I know what you like to eat for breakfast. And then he sort of lists off his breakfast, and she's like, I don't really like any of that stuff. I just eat it because you eat it. I just wanted to be close to you, basically.
And I love that she had this huge book all about him.
Yeah.
So she probably wrote it herself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like one of her journals, right? And there's just kind of that moment of him realizing how sort of self-involved he's been, that although she's been around in his life for a while, we don't really know how long, but presumably Webby and Mrs. Beakley have been there for a while. And yet he's never really asked her what she thinks or how she feels about certain things, and has just sort of assumed a lot of things. And I think it's a really great character moment for Scrooge and a lot of good growth for him throughout this episode, because Beakley in the past is doing sort of the same thing to him, looking at him and going, oh, he's this rich, sort of entitled, obnoxious person, and then realizes that he's actually quite heroic and selfless and actually a very capable adventurer, even if he doesn't necessarily listen to instructions. So I just really like that parallel between the two stories and the sort of softening of Scrooge's character. Although, yeah, I mean, right from the outset in this series, he's been much more open to the idea of the adventures. I mean, right in that first episode, they kind of all get into trouble and it seems like he's getting mad, and then they're like, oh no, are we in trouble? And he's like, in trouble? No, that's the most fun I've had in ages. And it's like, trouble is exactly what I need. And so I think, like, he sort of looked at the boys that way, but now he's, after this episode, starting to look at Webby that way as well, as an equal to them, if not a little bit more impressive, especially after the final couple moments of this episode.
They've done a good job of developing Scrooge's character in such a good way, because he's actually not in as many episodes as I thought he would be in. So out of the few episodes that he has actually featured as a main character, they've done a good job of creating that and making it believable, coming from kind of a hard, stingy place to softening up quite a bit to the point where we are now.
Yeah.
To the point where by the end of the finale, when the nephews are asking very pointed questions about their past and their mom, he's going to be more willing to answer than he would have at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. So what's your next?
I loved the whole flashback scene. The fact that we have, and that Scrooge is actually a part of Hush, which is a Darkwing Duck reference.
Yeah.
We've built in firmly into this universe Hush and Fowl, the opposing factions, and Hush definitely and Fowl, a nod to Spectre from the old James Bond movies, as well as S.H.I.E.L.D. from Marvel Comics. It comes all out of that 60s spy era, and that's why Beakley's dressed in this very 1960s style. But Scrooge is still dressed. He still looks like he's like out of the 20s or the 30s. He's not dressed in a 60s fashion, so he's still out of date. He always is not in the right era as everybody else.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, but I like the fact that they put Ludwig von Drake in charge of Hush, and he.
Sorry, he's to stop you. Are you saying Hush or Shush?
Sorry, Shush. Oh yeah, you're Shush, right. It's Shush.
I don't want the emails flooding in. That's the only reason I correct you.
Yep, that's fine. Ludwig von Drake is in charge of Shush, and it's neat to see, because he's typically known as the crazy inventor. He's got a lot of inventions and scientific knowledge and such, but he's kind of a bird brain, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
and he shows that off here as well. And I love the banter that he and Beakley have in that one scene. And he also plays the role of Q. Coming up with the crazy inventions, that the cane that does a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So I liked that aspect. And I really hope that we'll get to see more of that side of things explored in the next season.
Yeah. So interesting tidbit about Shush and Fowl and how they worked themselves into Darkwing Duck, kind of in a roundabout way. It's really interesting that Darkwing Duck, before it became Darkwing Duck, was going to be a series called Double O Duck. And right. I they weren't able to call the show 00 Duck or continue sort of with that theme of the James Bond style spy thriller, because like the James Bond franchise, who owns James Bond? I can't remember. MGM, I think.
MGM, yeah.
Yeah, they shut it down. They were like, no, you can't do this. So legal couldn't clear it, so they had to kind of pivot. So they ended up pivoting into the Batman comic book superhero aspect of it a little bit more. But then in, what is it? I guess it's like in season two.
Of DuckTales.
Of Darkwing Duck. When they start introducing Shush, and all of a sudden Darkwing Duck is working as a secret agent. And it's kind of, as a kid, I was always like, this is so weird. He's a superhero. Why is he working against Steelbeak, who is very much a James Bond type villain, right?
Well, there's an episode of DuckTales.
Oh, is there?
Where Launchpad plays the spy, 00 Duck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you have these connections all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. So the existence of Shush and Fowl comes out of a very weird origin story for Darkwing Duck.
Right.
And that's why, like, originally the character design was totally different. Different. But he ends up keeping the double-breasted suit.
He's added a cape.
They added the cape and the hat, and all of a sudden he was now a mashup of Darkwing, of Batman,
and James Bond.
James Bond and the Shadow. Character design is very reminiscent of the Shadow.
Yep.
As well as the terror that flaps in the night. That's very much a Shadow thing. It's like the Shadow knows. Sort of thing. So but we'll talk more about Darkwing Duck when we get into actual Darkwing episodes in the future.
You always find a way to tangent off into Darkwing always. Talk.
This episode's just so connected because of the Shush angle that it's like Shush and Fowl being brought up. That's a great place for us to drop that in there. But
well, we can talk about another aspect of tying into the larger universe here, because I think you wrote down in your notes here is the same as my final moment here. We both really enjoyed the gummy berry juice fight scene.
Yeah.
And it's so ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And the best part of all of it is when they're going through the recipe for gummy berry juice, because correct me if I'm wrong, but that's straight out of Gummy Bears, right?
Yes, it is. I was going to bring that up in the behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah. It's the actual formula, the secret formula for gummy berry juice, and it is such a like sense memory. The second that they start going into it, of like the rhythm and sort of the way that they do it, I was like, oh, that's the action, because it's been forever. I haven't watched an episode of Gummy Bears in probably over 15 years, I would imagine. Yep. And yet the second that she starts reciting this recipe, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's totally the recipe for gummy berry juice. But it's great. The whole setup earlier in the episode with the auction and seeing the scroll and seeing all the gummy bears on the scroll. And then you get to the end and there's just the pile of gummy berries all over the place. They've got sort of like the big vat of them. And then obviously the once they start using the gummy berry juice, the sound effects are all the same sound effects, and or at least very, very similar sound effects.
Pretty close, yeah, pretty close.
And the action, like the way that the fight unfolds is very reminiscent, even though like they take it another step further, right? Because it's DuckTales, so they want to take that. Gummy Bears was always kind of a little bit more silly and fun, a little bit more carefree, and then this DuckTales in particular is much more hard-edged on the action. So they take it and they basically turn it into gummy berry kung fu. Yeah,
and they do a great job, and it works well because of this whole, like 1960s spy, like the other thing that was happening around the late 60s, early 70s was the kung fu explosion as well. Yeah. So, you have a great mashup of these different cinematic, tropes that were popular at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes for a very, fun, climax to the battle as they both basically jump as high as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And then the gummy berry juice runs out, which is a trope from gummy bears of right at the worst time. It's just like Spider-Man's web shooters back in the 90s and back in the 60s, right? He's just swinging along, minding his own business, gets in a fight, and that's when his web fluid runs out. So it's the same sort of joke of like, now that we're high up in the air, high enough that if we fall we're gonna die, the gummy bear berry juice runs out.
They played the stakes really well. I thought the choreography was great. There was some excellent animation in there, and it was like I said, it was light on the jokes, but what made up for that is that we had a whole fight where people are just bouncing all over the place. And so that in itself is funny.
I think that this is one of those things where people will often be like, oh, I don't like that because the tone went too serious and I want this to be more fun or whatever. Or they're like, oh, it's that joke is too silly for this serious thing. And it's like, or like the suspension of disbelief. Ant-Man was one of the things. People go like, oh, it just gets to be too much. The suspension of disbelief just goes out the window with that. And it's like, but they work so hard with tone, and I think this episode is a great example of it, of being very serious so that you can then cash in those chips for something completely absurd. And so this episode, more than most of the series, is very serious from start to finish. One, because of the thematic stuff that they're going for, the genre cues that they're taking. But then also, because like you said, like you're going to get to the end and it's a fight where they're bouncing around to sort of like boing, boing, boing sound effects, right? Yeah, I know. And you can't do that. Like you don't earn that at the end of the episode without having this great sort of cinematic and very heartfelt story build up to it.
Right.
And then they punctuate it with a great moment at the end where we think, you know, like, oh, Webby is saved, but is Black Heron, right? Black Heron apparently dies, but all we see is the hand, right? We see the robot hand and not the rest of the body, which is another great action suspense spy thriller trope of like no body, no death, right? So Heron will, I'm sure, come back in a future episode.
Oh, for sure.
What I would really love to see, and I'm going to kind of make a little bit of speculation here, but Darkwing obviously being so tied to Shush and Fowl from his own series, seeing Mrs. Beakley in the Darkwing outfit, I could see them doing a Darkwing, Mrs. Beakley team up against Black Heron in the future. And what a great time to also introduce maybe like Taurus Bulba or Steelbeak into the series, because those will be great characters for this universe as well. Because if we can have Don Carnage as an adversary or sort of a supporting character in DuckTales, let's start grabbing bad guys from all the shows, because there's great rogues throughout the DAU, as we're now going to call it. I would love to see them in there.
I just want to go on record saying that DAU is just something that I put in the tweets when I was trying to live tweet the panel. So
It wasn't just, I saw a lot of people using the term on the weekend, because there was a lot of people tweeting, not just us. And it's like DAU was a thing. So
good.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's a thing. That's perfect, because it's what I want to refer to it as.
let's get into the behind the scenes. What else is there in this episode to talk about?
Well, I've got a lot of little tiny references here. I'm going to save the gummy bear talk for last, but director Ludwig von Drake, of course, classic Disney character. In modern times, he's been always voiced by Corey Burton, and he is in this episode as well.
Corey Burton is so great. He is one of the best out there. He does so many voices on Clone Wars. He does Count Dooku and Zero the Hutt, and he's prolific. He's so great.
He's also the voice of Chip in Rescue Rangers, so if they ever do put Rescue Rangers in there, we'll see if they cast him there. But Corey Burton is one of two actors, I think, that have reprised roles from the previous times. Like Jim Cummings as Darkwing is, I think, the only other one.
Yeah.
Everybody else is recast.
Yeah.
And Donald, of course. Tony Anselmo does Donald. But... so it was great to see him in there. I hope we get to see more of Von Drake, and I'm glad they found a useful purpose for him in the show as well. I think he was only in one episode for a brief cameo in the original DuckTales.
Okay. I think that was it.
So at one point when Mrs. Beakley is first being introduced to Scrooge McDuck, Scrooge says that he had a heck of a night capturing Jack the Tripper. Jack the Tripper is a very like a one-time villain from a classic DuckTales episode, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Duck. Okay. So I'm glad they snuck him in there. I hope that we can. He'd probably be a good adversary to bring back as well.
Yeah.
The robots that they fight in the cave have a very similar facial kind of structure to the robot robbers. The giant robots that the Beagle Boys confiscate and use to try and get to Scrooge's money bin.
Yeah.
I saw a very similar design in there. And then, all of the gummy bear stuff. You already pointed out that the formula is the correct formula. There's an episode called The Secret of the Juice where Granny... teaches Sunny how to make the juice, because usually it's just she has the secret to herself, but she has to let someone else know at that point. And the sound effects you've also pointed out are very, very, very similar. They got the very distinct sound when you first drink the gummy berry juice, and you and it sort of affects you, and then the bouncing sound as well.
Okay.
At one point, Black Heron says, bouncing here and there and everywhere, mass destruction that's beyond compare.
Yeah,
and those are parody lyrics, of course, of the actual Gummy Bears theme song, which is actually High Adventure That's Beyond Compare.
Yeah.
And then what else is on my list here? So at the very beginning, the first time we see the gummy bears on the scroll, there are all of those ancient runes.
Yeah.
And I tried to figure out if they said anything, but it's all gibberish as far as I can tell, unless the actual translated runes are a cipher in itself and you have to decipher that. I have no idea. But it didn't look like anything to me, just in case you were wondering. And then also they mentioned that the people who live in Castle Dunwin, they have the secret of gummy berry juice, and it depicts the two people as a bird and an animal of some sort, a bear or a dog or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was talking about earlier because gummy bears is usually set in a human world. But in this version, they've specifically taken out the humans and replaced them with animals. So that makes it a little bit tie into their world a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I did sort of note that when I was watching the episode, but I didn't really think of the larger consequences of a change like that. So it means that anybody could kind of be anywhere from any of these shows. So they could be in Duckburg at some point, and if they need a police officer, they could have Bonkers the Bobcat
show. That would be great. I would love that.
I know, because you're a big Bonkers fan.
People rag on that show all the time, but I loved it.
I hated Bonkers. Okay. That was the point when like Bonkers would come on Disney Afternoon. I'd be like, cool, time to switch over to Saved by the Bell or Power Rangers or something.
No way. I loved it.
Oh, it was not my favorite. Cool. Well, I think that's all of our behind the scenes stuff. Let's check in with the Junior Woodchucks and see what they thought about this episode.
Hi, my name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
This is the Woodchuck Podcast. This episode is called From the Confidential Case Files of Agent 22. So, Milo, what was your favorite part?
I don't have a favorite part.
What? Okay, this one was the most epic, I'd say.
It's all my favorite
part. Okay, that was every not what I was expecting. Piece. You said nothing, but now it's everything? Okay, this is just getting weirder by the minute.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part was all of the flashbacks. What was the funniest part?
I have no funniest part.
Well, my...
I mean, the funniest part was when that robot stayed alive for a couple of years.
My favorite part was when Webby. Webby was copying what Uncle Scrooge was doing. Like, he was drinking out of a teapot. I mean, he was drinking out of a teacup, and Webby was drinking out of a teapot. And Scrooge put his hat on, and then Webby put a cup on a plate on her head. It was really weird.
What did you learn about Scrooge? What I learned about Scrooge is that his cane can do tricks.
Wow. From a lucky coin rate, what would you say?
4.
I'd say off the chart 1,000,000.
I'd actually say off the chart infinity.
So long, baka baka boomba.
Okay, time for a lucky dime rating. Mike, I think I can tell that this one's going to probably be up there a little bit. What's your rating?
It is. You know, I'm going to give this one a solid 40 cents four dimes for me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely high up there. It's probably in like my top 5 or 6 episodes of the season, but it's not quite as good as some of those other ones, like Gizmo Duck and such. So I like it quite a bit, though. It's a really fun episode.
Well, I may also agree that it's not quite up there with Beware the Buddy System, but I still think it deserves a 5.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a straight 5. I thought it was, just solid all the way through. The cool. The action, the emotion, everything worked really well together. All of the elements, including like just the fact that they set up that tea before the theme song to be a pivotal moment in the actual battle later on. It all worked together really, really well.
That is true. That is very true. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
How are our episode rankings doing? Because obviously it's been a couple of weeks. Are we just going to cover this last... Or sorry, the episode introduction before this one?
Yeah, we'll just cover the results of this week, this 1 week. Because just for the sake of people listening in the future, they can follow along week by week as well. But it is interesting now, having seen a few weeks now, how this episode ranking is going to play out and going back now and looking at this one. It's very interesting. So Beware the Buddy System took the lead again with 36% of the votes.
Yep.
And Golden Lagoon, 34% of the votes. So those two are neck and neck. They're very close.
Mm.
Jaws, 18% of the votes. And Day of the Only Child, which was the new episode for this poll, 12% of the votes. So unfortunately, it is only in for 1 week and it gets the boot.
Cool. So we're going to pull that one out and slot Agent 22 in there. And
sorry, you can't vote for it because this is already a couple weeks old. It already happened, but you can go on to our Twitter feed and see the results already. They are already posted. So there you go.
Cool.
And we'll talk about those results in the next episode.
Yeah. Awesome. So the next episode that we'll be covering is the episode Who is Gizmo Duck? And here's the description. As Fenton figures out how to be a hero, Mark Beeks offers to hire Gizmo Duck and help him defend all of Duckburg. I can't imagine that possibly going wrong. It's funny. We are so behind in recording these episodes, and I didn't want to watch them yet.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Yeah, but what I've heard is that this episode is fantastic. So I'm really excited to watch it in the next couple of days. And then I'll probably be very excited to sit down and record it. So, like we said, hopefully we can get out these next three episodes in pretty quick succession and get caught up. I think I'll be ready to talk about this episode later this week. I chat about some more Gizmo Duck. I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to these other two because the other bin of Scrooge McDuck and Sky Pirates in the Sky both sound like a lot of fun as well. So cool. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back as soon as possible with the episode for Who is Gizmo Duck. But thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you next afternoon.